Today on Insight for Living.
All I really needed to know about how to live and what to do and how to be, I learned in kindergarten. Share everything. Play fair. Don't hit people. Put things back where you found them. Clean up your own mess. Don't take things that aren't yours. And when you go out into the world, watch out for traffic. Hold hands and stick together.
Insight for Living features the Bible teaching of Chuck Swindoll and originates from Frisco, Texas, where the ministry houses its international headquarters. His sermons are delivered next door at Stonebriar Community Church, where Chuck serves as senior pastor. When the congregation is able to gather in person, those who attend the Sunday morning worship service enjoy the corporate celebration of God's goodness, which includes majestic music from the choir, congregational singing of hymns, giving and receiving the offering as an expression of worship, and of course, the proclamation of God's Word. Today, we pick up just following a stirring musical piece called Ascription of Praise.
Woven through the fabric of the New Testament are threads of doxologies and benedictions. And when you come toward the very end of the letters, the little one-chapter letter of Jude, it closes with this magnificent benediction. One of my seminary professors challenged us in the class to memorize all of the benedictions in the New Testament. I pass that same challenge on to all of you. This is the last of them the choir sang. And then we are led into the Revelation, which is full of benedictions and doxologies. Doxa is the Greek word for glory. Logos is the word for a word or a statement. So a doxology is a statement related to his glory. This is a benediction. Look at it closely. Now to him who is able, the original text says, able to guard you from stumbling, which is better than to keep you from falling. He guards us from stumbling and to present us not without blemish, but get this, faultless. How good is that? Without one fault before the presence of his glory with exceeding great joy. You know when that will occur? When we stand before him and our Savior presents us to the Father and announces that we are his children, standing faultless before his presence. So if this has been a hard week for you, if this has been one of those weeks where you've stumbled a bit, maybe even fallen, you have great hope. Today is not forever. This is not the final chapter. How grateful we are for that. Now, to prepare us for the second sermon of the morning, please turn in your Bibles to 1 John, not to be confused with the Gospel of John. This is very near the end of your New Testament, 1 John chapter 2. Because of our love for Christ and gratitude for his willingness to do all that he continues to do for us out of respect for his word, may we stand together for the reading of these first six verses of 1 John 2. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. By this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. The one who says, "But I have come to know him," and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But Whoever keeps his word in him, the love of God, has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. Aren't we grateful God has given us his word, preserved it for us in our own tongue, so that we can understand it? You may be seated.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called Family Rules for Little Children.
Hey, let's face it, we're all just a bunch of little kids at heart. Now, we don't dress like it today, and we don't necessarily look like it right now, but down deep inside, you're just a little girl. You great-looking ladies sitting there, you're just little girls. And you guys, you just little boys down deep inside. We never really outgrow a lot of things that we loved when we were kids. Stop and think about it. We all still love a great story. It holds us in rapt attention. We love riddles. We love mysteries. We love picnics and parades. And we love songs that we've been singing since we were little kids, and boat rides and ball games. Speaking of that, most of the games were created for children. We just turned them into very serious events. But baseball, a little boy's game, and hockey, it's a little thug's game, and just a fun game, you know, and football. I loved it when Don Meredith decided to no longer be the Cowboys quarterback, back when they had a team we could respect. I remember Meredith when he decided to hang up the spikes. Somebody asked him why, because he had good years left in him. He said, because they've stopped the fun of the game. It's no longer fun. It's just a little boy's game, and they've gotten all serious about it. And I think he's right. Basketball. Bunch of grown men trying to put a ball in a little tiny, why don't they make it bigger? That's why I don't golf. The holes are too little. Just bigger. We still like checkers and fish and Monopoly, and we even like puzzles. Now, we may not play tag, but we still enjoy gotcha. We may not play hide and seek and wear masks and trick or treating, but a lot of adults still run and hide and still wear masks. We're just little kids at heart. We no longer run foot races, admittedly, but we sure like car races. And we may stop playing with toys, but now we buy big ones, and they're very expensive. We're just a bunch of grown-up children that have somehow in the process gotten a little snotty sophisticated. I figured I might as well say it like it is, huh? I think that's the reason Robert Fulghum's wonderful little book, All I Really Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten, made such a hit back in the 80s when he wrote it. Believe it or not, this little book, it could have been written to children, won its way into the hearts of Americans and people around the world. For months, it was a New York Times number one bestseller. You'll be able to understand when I read you some of his words. He writes, all I really needed to know about how to live and what to do and how to be, I learned in kindergarten. Wisdom was not at the top of the graduate school mountain, but there in the sand pile at Sunday school. These are the things I learned, and then he lists them. share everything. Play fair. Don't hit people. Put things back where you found them. Clean up your own mess. Don't take things that aren't yours. Say you're sorry when you hurt somebody. Wash your hands before you eat. Flush. Some of you would do well to remember that, by the way. Warm cookies and cold milk are good for you. Live a balanced life. Learn some and think some and draw and paint and sing and dance and play and work some every day. Take a nap every afternoon. Does that sound like a great idea or what? And when you go out into the world, watch out for traffic. Hold hands and stick together. We resonate with those simple rules because they make good sense and because we tend to forget them. I'm convinced the sooner we return to them, the easier we will be to live with. When we were little kids, we didn't take ourselves all that seriously, but we took God seriously. But as we grew up, there was a strange reversal of roles. We began to take ourselves far too seriously, and we don't take God all that seriously. And that's when we get into trouble. While grazing over the lines of this second and into the third chapter of John's letter to his friends, it began to make better sense to me when I realized that I'm working my way through words written to families. This is for children. This is for children of all ages. You see, the hard job in these rules that I just read is putting them into practice, not understanding them. And you'll find the same is true in John's letter. But let me show you why I was thinking about family rules when I came into this time of preparation. You got your Bible open to 1 John chapter 2. Just get your pen ready and mark a few words along the way that are little clues that say this is for family. This is family stuff. Look at the first line of verse 1. My little children. My little children. Mark that. Look at verse 12 of chapter 2. I'm writing to you, little children. He said that earlier, but he says it again because this is for the family. Look at 13. I'm writing to you, fathers. That's a family term. You never call someone at work father. You call them boss, superior, or some officer name. But family term is father. So I'm writing to fathers. Look at verse 18, same chapter. Children, it's the last hour. So he's writing to children. Look at 28. Now, little children, mark that. And one more, and we'll get back to chapter 2. Chapter 3, verse 1. I love this verse. See how great a love the Father, there's a term, has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God, and such we are. There it is again. This is to children. So why would I want to make this complicated or hard to grasp? This is family talk. These are terms of endearment. If I ever gather my four grown children around me and it has come near the last hour of my life, I may be tempted to say to them, and now, little children, even though they're all in their 30s and 40s and perhaps by then, by God's grace, 50s and even 60s, little children, I want to talk with you. John sees us as young children in need of instruction. A That's what we are in John's eyes. His words lack sophistication. They're not meant to impress or to chide. They're not even rebukes. They are words of warning and instruction. So, first of all, I think it would help us to understand how John, the writer, is looking at us, okay? Think of yourself as sitting at the feet of your favorite mentor, all right? Now, for some, you may have a mentor that's now gone. You may have read his biography or her biography, and you just admire them. You're sitting at her feet or his feet. For others of you, you would name one of your profs at school. Maybe one of your elementary school teachers or junior high, senior high teachers. Very common for people to have a college professor that became their mentor. If you've ever read Tuesdays with Maury, wonderful book by Rich Albom. If you haven't read it, read it. Read it soon. Mitch Albom's mentor is a man named Maury Schwartz, who died with Lou Gehrig's disease. And Mitch went to meet with him every Tuesday, the name of the book. So you're sitting at the feet of your grandfather. I hope you were close to him. I hope even more so with your father. John is like your father, and that's how he sees us. So there's a lack of sophistication, not a lack of wisdom. Don't confuse the two. Take away sophistication, you could have a lot of wisdom, as with the children's rules. But they're not meant to impress us. They're not even meant to rebuke us. They're meant to warn us, like a mentor does. Son, before you go off to college, you've got your own car. You got an amount of money. You're going to have a lot of privacy. You're going to run with kids you've never met before. You're going to be dorming with them. Our sweetheart, remember what your mom and I have said to you as you've grown. We want to warn you. When you're on your own, then comes the advice. It isn't to rebuke you. It's to warn you. And we'll find out why John writes like that a little later. Now, this ought to change the way we see ourselves, okay? John sees us as young children in need of instruction. So we need to see ourselves as little children listening to our mentor's counsel. Or in John's case, an old man's counsel. He's now well into his 90s. Do you know that by the end of his life, they had to carry him into the church, and the people hung on his every word, and they ultimately became the same words every time he would say to them, "Little children, love one another. Love one another." They waited every week to hear those words from John. If you will adopt this mindset, it will help you understand what is written as well as be ready for the warnings. You need to see yourself, and I need to see myself as a little child in that sandpile where you used to play. Let's all see ourselves as little children. And before I go any further, I want to help you relax. So don't think of John as a killjoy, because some of the things he will say are pretty sharp and strong. He isn't Eeyore. He's not Ebenezer Scrooge or some Puritan with a 5-pound cross hanging around his neck, frowning at you like a Pharisee. H.L. Mencken once described a Puritan as someone who lives with the constant fear that someone somewhere might be happy. It's not true of John. Remember his words in verse 4 of chapter 1? That your joy may be what? Made complete, filled up. I want to see you kids laughing again. I want to see you laughing at life. And even at times laughing at yourself, But when it comes to me, I want to find you on your knees. I want to see you looking into my face as the Lord Jesus, hanging on my every word. Now you've got the right mentality for it all. Here comes six simple rules for family living. I deliberately have taken out all of the big words, so all of us can write the words in crayon if you want to do that. Here we go. Verse 1. Don't ever mess with stuff that gets you into trouble. This is the way John says it. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. Now, I immediately hear some of you sophisticates that haven't yet dressed in knickers, sat down in the sand pile. You're saying, Chuck, we always sin. We're going to sin to stop it. John is writing to say, I want to help you avoid sin. That's the way J.B. Phillips renders this, to help you avoid sin. To guide you out of sin is the way Eugene Peterson renders it in the Message. Stay with the word picture of the family. I want you to stay in a safe neighborhood. I almost use those words. Don't mess around a dangerous neighborhood. When our kids were little, we lived in Southern California, and we were living in a fairly nice section of town in Fullerton, California. And we lived up kind of on a hill, and everything from us was downhill. And if you went far enough downhill and let your bike coast far enough across Commonwealth, you'd be in a tough section of town, just a few blocks away. And we would say to the kids on Saturday morning before they'd hop on their bikes to go down the hill and play over at Hillcrest Park or wherever, we'd say to them, now, don't go in a tough neighborhood. You get into trouble. That's what John is saying. I'm writing you these things so you won't go too far.
Practical wisdom coming from 1 John chapter 2. And the message from Chuck Swindoll called Family Rules for Little Children. You're listening to Insight for Living. Today's study comes from a 16-part series called Living Right in a Wrong World. To learn more about Chuck or this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. While many of us are quarantined at home with extra time on our hands, this is the perfect time to dig deeper into topics you might otherwise miss. Very recently, one of your fellow listeners wrote to say, Dear Pastor Swindoll, I am now sheltered in place in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic plaguing our world. I determined to begin reading the books that I've had on my bookshelves that went unread while I was commuting and working. And then he proceeds to describe his meaningful engagement in Chuck's book on Moses and how he's applied the biblical principles to his life. Well, this response makes our day. And we hope it motivates you to walk alongside us through the summer as we journey through the insightful book of 1 John together. Along those lines, I'm pleased to point you to the in-depth commentary for 1 John. In fact, this hardbound volume from Swindoll's Living Insights New Testament commentary set includes material on 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Jude as well. To purchase a copy right now, go to insight.org/offer. Chuck, presenting this teaching series has been on your agenda for a long time.
Well, that's right, Dave. I've wanted to present this study on the New Testament book of 1 John for several years, and I'm delighted the day has finally come. These timeless principles from John speak directly into a season he never imagined, a global pandemic in which all of us find ourselves sequestered from the life we once knew. 1 John is a book about living right in a wrong world. It's a bold case for the dangers of habitual sin and the rewards of faithful obedience. It's a book that takes the grays out of our palate and helps us see the truth in black and white, just as God intended. I can't think of a more relevant book than 1 John. In a world that celebrates shades of gray, where truth has become foggy and relative, and moral values are viewed as an encroachment on personal freedom. At Insight for Living Ministries, we are resolved to amplify John's clean and clear message and accelerate our mission because we believe the time is short. Even during a global pandemic, even when international economies are at risk, we refuse to take our foot off the gas pedal because we believe God is calling us to pursue a countercultural mission, to live right in a wrong world. For these reasons, I'm not bashful, and I'm certainly not apologetic about calling on you to join us. Yep, I know some are unable to give right now. I understand that, but gratefully, many of you are able to give. Here's the bottom line. This daily program with you, along with Vision 195 as our goal to reach all 195 countries of the world with Insight for Living, is wholly dependent on partners like you to contribute financially. So, as you sense God's prompting your spirit to join us, please send a generous donation before the June 30 deadline, okay? Your partnership will make all the difference in the world. Thanks so much.
All right, thanks, Chuck. And to respond to the need, just choose one of several convenient ways to get in touch. You can easily use the Insight for Living mobile app. Just tap on the heart icon and follow the simple directions. Or call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. Or to give a donation online, visit us at insight.org. Again tomorrow, Chuck Swindoll presents Family Rules for Little Children, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Family Rules for Little Children, and the sound recording were copyrighted in 2009 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.